your place. It's good for you, Cheryl. Give thanks in all things. Come on. You got health, life, you can stand. Raise your hands. Amen. Oh, it's a good morning. We just want to open our time together before we get into the Word. We just want to invite the Holy Spirit. None of us, myself included, have any understanding. Scripture reads that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared, but He's revealed it to us by His Spirit. And so we all just want to take a moment together as people born of the Spirit to welcome His ministry to us this morning. So I'm just going to be silent here for about 30 seconds and just invite you just to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do a work on through His Word this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, we love You. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this family. We thank You for each one of the stories that are here, Lord, stories of Your salvation, Your healing, Your deliverance, how You've completely transformed us, Lord, and You continue to transform us into the image of Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for sending the Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your Word here this morning to help us, to give us understanding, to lead us in the knowledge of who You are. And so we just ask You for help today, Holy Spirit. Lord, there's nothing in any one of us that would draw You, but because You're so faithful and You're so good, You minister to us in Your great mercy, and we thank You for that today. Thank You for the blood of Jesus that does wash us whiter than snow. Thank You for, Lord, drawing us close to You, Father. Thank You for adopting us, and thank You for giving us Your heart and Your nature. And we just ask that would grow in our midst today, Lord, that we would learn more of Your ways and hear more of Your heart and gain Your mind in greater measure. So, Father, we ask that You would just release over this place, even now, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who You are, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's interesting, sometimes from week to week, you may not even remember what we talked about the week before, but many of you may remember 1 year and 2 weeks ago today. And it was when COVID hit the States. And you remember it was that weekend where everything began to shut down, and regardless of where you landed in the midst of all that, mask or no mask, vax or no vax, or whether it was a government conspiracy or the judgment of God, whatever, we were all scrambling. We were all trying to figure out what is going on. What do I need to be doing for myself and my family, and what does this mean for life as we're just seeing all this just take place? And for me, I'm self-employed through the week, and I do work for local car dealerships, which are dependent on people having jobs and money to spend to buy cars. And so I'm watching unemployment numbers go through the roof, and I start saying that, like, this is going to hit us. If there's no people with jobs to have money to buy cars, that's going to affect me. And I'm even hearing of other vendors in the area who would show up at the account, and the manager there would say, hey, we're just releasing all our vendors for like 3 or 4 weeks. Just go home, everybody be safe, and leave. And so I'm thinking, here it comes. It's coming. 3 to 4 weeks without any pay. And then who knows what's going to go on after that. And then, of course, the day came when the governor of Georgia declared a shelter in place. I'm like, I do a lot of work in South Carolina. Can I even go to South Carolina? Like, all these thoughts are just consuming me. And it just got to a place where I ever feel like you're like drowning. Like, you're just like, I don't even know how we're going to make it. And I remember the drive home on the day that he called that. And I'm praying, or at least trying to pray. It was praying, complaining, worrying. You know, one of those things, like, you're trying to pray, you're trying to have faith, but it's not coming. Like, Jesus, I know You're going to provide. You are going to provide, right? Really going to provide. But, you know, I mean, we'd been through 9/11. We started right after that. We'd been through 2008, but somehow this just seemed bigger. This just seemed beyond God. Like, 2001, that was nothing. 2008, that was nothing. But this, God, this is bigger. I'm driving home, and I pull up to my house, and I open the mailbox, and inside is a thank you card with a $200 check. Now, I didn't have a $200 need. This isn't one of those stories where like there's this bill and I didn't know how I was going to pay it, but then God provided. I didn't have a $200 need. And in light of everything that I was worried about and everything that I was so consumed about and everything that I was drowning under, $200 really wasn't going to go very far. But as soon as I saw the $200 check, the word of the Lord came to me and said, I know your needs before you even ask. And just like that, whoom, anxiety gone, whoom, worry gone. It was settled. He's going to provide. It was done. And we've been going through this series on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to wrap it up today. But the first half, we talked about who the Holy Spirit was, his work, and his power. And the second half, we've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the gifts are for the Holy Spirit because COVID wasn't the last trial or testing of our faith or difficulty that we're going to have to go through. We're always kind of in this midst of uncertainty. There's always something to be concerned about, always something to be worried about. There's always some sort of pressure that we're under. But there's always these things that want to detract us and take us off course and cause us to lose our faith, our hope, our confidence, our joy, to get us off track. But with one gift, it released faith. One gift, it released the word of the Lord to me. One gift, I was back on track and I was strong again. One gift strengthened me, edified me, built me up, encouraged me. One gift. And here's the thing, is that we're going to walk through testings of our faith. We're going to walk through trials. We're going to walk through tribulation. There's going to be pressure coming on the earth that we've never seen before. But God is so faithful. He's given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And he's given us a body. He's given us a family, and he's placed gifts in the body for our encouragement, our strengthening, our building up, so that we don't come off track, so we stay the course, we run our race, we finish strong. That's why it's such I'm so adamant sometimes when I hear people say, the body, you can kind of float around here or there, do whatever, you don't really have to belong to a church. Are you kidding me? You're going to die. You're going to drown under the pressure. You're going to drown under the worry, the anxiety, the fear. There's no way you can make it, but God's given you his people, and he's distributed gifts for your encouragement, for your strengthening, for the building up of your faith. And so today we're going to finish, and we've talked about prophecy, we've talked about healing, and today we're going to talk about the gift of tongues. An interpretation of tongues, which even as I was typing that out, that's such a weird thing, the gift of tongues. I'm thinking about if somebody were to be here today, maybe there is someone who's never had any experience in church to read that, and I'm like, what is that? But even if you have been raised in church, as I was, tongues are weird. What a weird gift. What a weird thing that God would give to his church. But weirdness isn't, just because it's weird doesn't mean it's not a part of Christianity. I mean, if you're following Jesus and you hold that this book is the authority of your life, there's lots of weird things in here. The story starts out with a talking snake. Later on, there's a talking donkey, right? Moses throws down his staff, it becomes a serpent. The Egyptian sorcerers do the same, then his serpent eats their serpents. Weird. Axe heads float. Weird. This one got me a number of years ago. Elisha the prophet dies. He's been dead for some while. There's nothing left but his bones. Another man dies, and his friends are trying to bury him, but Philistines are coming, and they panic, and they throw their dead friend into Elisha's grave. Their dead friend hits Elisha's bones, and he's resurrected. Whose faith was at work there? What is that? Forget about the virgin. A virgin conceives. Jesus has to pay his taxes. He says, go look in the mouth of a fish. Right? The apostle's shadow passes over somebody and they're healed. Philip is transported from one location in time to another. And next Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Lots of weird stuff in here. And suddenly the thought that you might be filled with the Spirit of the living God and speak in a language you didn't know doesn't sound all that far out there, does it? But still, because of abuses, because of poor teaching, when it comes to the gift of tongues, we're still a little, we're still a little resistant. We're still a little, I don't know about that. And I grew up in the church, and I heard lots of weird stuff about tongues that when you hold it up to the Word of God, I'm like, I don't think that really adds up. I heard, you know, say, well, tongues, that's just a gift to missionaries to help them learn to speak another language. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit gives grace for missionaries to learn other languages, but just when I'm reading this, I'm like, I'm not really seeing that laid out or mapped out here. When I was like 13, 14 years old, we were in a Sunday school class. And I grew up Southern Baptist, and what the Southern Baptists get right is they drive the Word of God into you. Man. And they kept asking me to read this word, which is part of the problem. And so we're in a Sunday school class, they're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and some of it was mischievous on our part. We were just trying to drive this poor Sunday school teacher mad, but we were just peppering her with all these sorts of questions, and some of them probably were quite obnoxious. But finally she says, just hold on a second. She runs out of the room, she goes and grabs the senior pastor, brings a senior pastor back into the Sunday school class, and we're asking him all sorts of questions. But here's what the response that even at 13 years old, we're asking about tongues, and he goes, you know, I've heard sometimes some people have said if you sing a song, and the song ministers to people, that's a tongue. At 13 years old, I'm like, I'm not going to get in an argument with the pastor, but I'm not seeing that anywhere in here. That's a dodge. You're like, you're trying to get out of this somehow. I had a youth pastor, 6 years under his ministry. He says this comment to me. He said, I speak in tongues all the time. It's no big deal. But that was it. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, tell me more. Like, this thing is so confusing and weird, and that's all that you say? I do it all the time. It's no big deal. Explain this to me. But in the lack of communication, lots of speculation, lots of you know, weird ideas come in. I had moved out of the house, and we were attending the church that my parents attended at the time, and this pastor had a rack in the back with all these different little pamphlets that he had written up. And one of the pamphlets was on tongues. And so I picked it up. So let's look through this. And much of what he shared in there was some of the same things I'm going to say to you today. But where he landed with it was, well, because tongues are so confusing and controversial, just keep them at home. Don't bring them into the gathering, which is funny because when Paul talks about tongues, he talks about it in the context of the gathering. And Paul says this. He says he doesn't, when he's talking about tongues, he doesn't say shut it down. Doesn't say avoid it. Doesn't say it's too controversial. He says, I want you to be informed. I want to teach you. And so it's important that we go to the Word of God to understand what this gift is about and how it works, and not be left with these ideas just because we think it's something weird. And some of us, because of weird stuff like that, or weird experiences, or abuses, or poor teaching, we've actually held the gift of the Holy Spirit at arm's length. I said, I don't want anything to do with this. It's just too weird. It's too controversial. Forgetting the fact that it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. And Paul says to earnestly desire. And sometimes we've even maligned the gift of the Holy Spirit, or maligned people who use the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we may need to start off this whole thing with just a time of repentance. Say, God, you have a gift for me. It's from your Holy Spirit, and I want whatever you have for me in it. I want to lay aside man's ideas. I want to lay aside my ideas, and I want your heart for me. I want your gift for me. But if that's not enough, there's two guys, solid guys, Francis Chan and John Piper, and they have very similar testimonies about the gift of tongues. They said, from our understanding of Scripture, it's a good gift. From our understanding of Scripture, it will help me. From our understanding of Scripture, they'll both say at the time, I've heard these recordings where they said, we've asked God to give us the gift of tongues, but he hasn't yet. But don't miss the point. Like, this isn't just some fringe thing for wild Pentecostals. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to all believers. And so we need to get into the Scripture and find out. We need to be informed. So, let's talk about this. What is the gift of tongues? And we look in Acts chapter 2, when it first came to the church. It says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And so the idea, first of all, that this is just to help missionaries, it wasn't that. It's not that God doesn't help missionaries, but this was something supernatural. They didn't have time to study this. They didn't have time to memorize vocabulary or anything like that. This was a supernatural gift from the Holy Spirit. The people watching this, the people observing this, saying there is no reason that they should know this language. And so we understand that it's at this point it was an earthly language, but Paul says if I have the gift of tongues of men or of angels. And so there are earthly tongues, there are also heavenly tongues as well, but look at what they are saying. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This isn't just gibberish, it's not just babbling or just making sounds with your mouth. The Spirit is imparting, the Spirit is giving a language that the speaker doesn't know, but that language is telling the mighty works of God. Let's look in later on in Acts. Peter goes to a Gentile's house, and while Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Throughout Acts, when we observe the gift of tongues being given to the church, it always accompanies the baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be clear here that there are a number of things that accompany the filling of the Holy Spirit. Tongues is one of them, but it is not the only thing. We see prophecy, we see praise and singing and prayer and boldness, and we see tongues. And so tongues is an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look on. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit." Back in that last thing in Acts, they hear them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Paul says, when you speak in tongues, you're uttering mysteries in the Spirit. And then he goes on, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. Or I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying?" So here, understand what the point here is. When we speak in tongues, it's not just making noise, it's not gibberish, it's not yabba-dabba-doo or anything like that. We are extolling, we are declaring the mighty works of God. We are uttering mysteries in our spirit. We are singing in the Spirit. We are praying in the Spirit. We are giving thanks in the Spirit. It's an overflow. Paul connects tongues with thanksgiving, praise, and prayer. It's an overflow of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an overflow of praise and prayer and song and declaration of the mighty works of God. So what does the gift of tongues accomplish? Paul says this, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up." As I told the story about that $200 check, you know, there's something in us that says, man, that's awesome. God's amazing. He does wonderful, mighty things. He's a provider. He's a healer. We hear that in our own language, and we're built up, and we're edified, and we're strengthened in our faith, and we're encouraged in our faith. How much more when we speak in the Spirit, when we utter mysteries to God, is our spirit man strengthened and built up and encouraged? Jude says this, he says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." It's so easy to forget sometimes just how much God loves us. Like there's Paul even prays. He says, I pray that you know the height, depth, length, and width of the love of Christ, that you know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's something about praying in the Spirit that keeps us in the love of God. It's praying in the Spirit that builds us up in our most holy faith. There's something that does something in here that surpasses sometimes even what praying in our mind can do. I found this true in another sort of related dynamic, is that ever get a check in your spirit? Ever use that phrase? Like, I'm just not settled about this. I always encourage people, like you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Some people say, I know with my knower type of thing, right? But the Holy Spirit's in there, and sometimes you'll hear somebody teaching something or hear somebody speaking something, and you're like, I can't argue that here. I don't know what's going on, but something in here, something in my spirit is saying, listen to that. Even if it's something I say, listen to that. Check it out in the Word of God. Go with that. Don't just give yourself over, well, I can't argue it with my mind. They must be right. Put the brakes on it. Check it out. But what I found is the more I pray in the Spirit, the more that comes alive. The more that knower just pulsates. It's like, no. I don't like that. There's something off on that. And the opposite is true as well. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say something, and you really don't even, it's like, they've said that, I can't explain it, but the Spirit said yes. The Spirit said yes to that. The Holy Spirit likes that. That sensitivity to the things of the Spirit increases and grows. For instance, like it's good for you to say amen in a sermon. It's really good. It is really good. And that because amen doesn't mean attaboy preacher. Amen isn't just, an encouragement to me. Amen is a response to what the Spirit is speaking. Like when you hear something and it hits your spirit, you're like, that's right, you should say amen. You should say amen, because amen is prayer, because sermons aren't just one directional. It's actually interactive. And when I hear something that resonates with my spirit, I speak amen, because it's saying, so be it. That's truth. I want that truth enlarged and concrete in my life. Amen. Amen is actually a prayer. You can pray during the sermon. Please do. Please pray during the sermon. Please ask the Holy Spirit to enlarge the place of this truth in your life. Amen. Sometimes I'll get prophetic utterances, or people bring me a prophetic word, and I'm like, I have no idea what to do with that. But my spirit says that's right on. It's this sensitivity that praying in the Holy Spirit, these uttering of these mysteries to God, this building ourselves up in our inner man, that's what's going on when we pray in tongues. It's not some just emotional experience. It's not just any of the nonsense that you might be thinking of. This thing is legit, and it's for real. Some people would ask, well, do I have to pray in tongues? That's actually a difficult question to answer. And let me just say, I know that there's this thought out there that there's, people who think you have to be, if you're not speaking in tongues, you're not saved. I had a friend who did some research on that. He found it was this extreme fringe of a Pentecostal group that said that nobody in mainstream Pentecostalism or mainstream charismatic whatever says this. Nobody's saying this. But Paul kind of leaves it with this tension. At the end of all this, he says, do all pray in tongues? No. But you got to hold that in balance with earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do all pray in tongues? No. But you got to hold that in tension with Paul saying, I would that all of you would speak in tongues. Like, I don't want to say yes and lead us into error, like everybody's got to be speaking in tongues. At the same time, if I say, no, you don't really have to, then we kind of chill out and don't really pursue this thing. And some of what we have to do is we have to understand, when we read a letter of Paul, we have to understand, like, we're listening to just half of a conversation. And so when Paul says all things must be done in an orderly way, what does that tell you? It tells you that at Corinth, things were being done in a disorderly way. And so we've got to kind of balance this. And as best we can tell from the letter to the Corinthian church is that tongues had been elevated to be like this supreme gift. Like, you've arrived if you can speak in tongues. And in that, things are getting really wild. So like in the middle of announcements, somebody would stand up and just speak in a tongue and there's no interpretation. And it was just kind of chaos. And so we understand now when we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, it's one continuous thought. Paul's laying a foundation, and then he's explaining how this foundation guides how we use the gift. So it's not three different ideas. Like normally if we want to teach on unity, we go to 1 Corinthians 12. If we want to speak at a wedding, we go to 1 Corinthians 13. If we want to shut down tongues, then we go to 1 Corinthians 14. And we miss out on the fact that Paul's saying, listen, the gifts were all given by the one Spirit. There were many gifts. There's not one that's elevated above any other. The one Spirit gave all the gifts, and he gave different gifts to the body. So the gifts are to serve the body. If you want to serve the body well, you have to do it in love, 1 Corinthians 13. If you're not serving, if you're not doing this in love, then tongues are going to be completely misplaced, and things are going to get out of order. Things are going to be chaotic. And then Paul says in Ephesians 6, 18, says, I would that all, he says, pray in the Spirit at all times. See, it's not to be this idea of, Paul's not trying to shut anything down, he just wants to give it its proper context. Paul wants to give it in the right place, and there's never a bad time to be edified. There's never a bad time to build yourself up in the faith. There's never a bad time to keep yourself in the love of God. Like, we're to earnestly desire this. We're to pursue this. But Paul's desire is that this would be for everybody. But yet at the same time, not all speak in tongues, but that's okay. All right. Let's talk about interpretation. And it is interpretation. It's not translation. Paul says, but if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and God. This idea of interpretation, it's more of the idea of prophecy. It's not a word-for-word translation. We're speaking mysteries to God, so it's more like prophecy. We're just kind of giving an idea of what was being said. But what we're seeing here is, I believe what Paul is talking about is one gift that has two different applications. And so if you were somewhere in public and two people were speaking a different language to each other, you wouldn't say, stop, you need to tell me what you're talking about. And it's completely different than when somebody's standing in front of a public group and addressing them. What I want us to gain from this is we've kind of made a big deal out of something that really doesn't have to be that complicated. And so if you were to walk in on me and hear me praying in a tongue, who am I talking to? God. I'm uttering mysteries in the Spirit. It's none of your business, what I'm saying. But if I stand before you and speak to you, if I was to tell you profound doctrinal truths in Japanese, who gets blessed? Me, the Japanese, right? Or me, right? I've built myself up in Japanese, right, by the Spirit. But none of you do. And so sometimes people are like, do you believe in the gift of tongues? I say, yes. They're like, well, with interpretation, right? Well, duh. That's the whole point. It's like, if I'm going to be speaking to a group, Paul's whole part is it's to build up, to edify the church. And if I speak in tongues, there's no 11th commandment that says you must have an interpretation. The great sin of speaking in tongues without interpretation is I've only served myself. I haven't served the church. I haven't ministered in love. I'm the only one that gets built up. Paul is saying it's just common sense. If you're going to speak publicly, you need something that everybody can understand. So there needs to be an interpretation. Of course there does. But, and that's why Paul says, because if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, don't have love, it's just a noisy gong. Japanese, Russian, whatever. It doesn't minister to anybody. Paul's whole heart is to see the church built up, encouraged, strengthened in love and served. So that's why Paul says, right, so everything must so earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. Like, speak in tongues. Have somebody come and give a public tongue. Don't forbid it. Open the door for it. But the whole point of the gift is that the church be edified. So there needs to be an interpretation. He says, if anybody speak in a tongue, let there only be two or at most three each in turn, and then let somebody interpret. It's not complicated. Requiring an interpretation when somebody speaks in public and addresses the whole room is just common sense. Well, some people ask, well, is it possible? Is there such a thing as demonic or false tongues? First of all, Scripture makes no mention of this ever happening. And as this past week as I was preparing, I was thinking, you know, in light of what we just said, it seems like a very ineffective way for the enemy to work. Like, I'm gonna give this guy a language that nobody else understands, and then I'm going to lead a bunch of people astray. No, Scripture says beware of false prophets and false teachers, because you can understand what they're saying, and you can be led astray. But the third, I think, is most important about this idea of demonic or false tongues is that that's not how the demonic works. Like, the demonic doesn't work when you desire more from your Father of the gifts that he has, and so you go to your Father and ask him for a gift that he has by his Holy Spirit, that somehow the devil sneaks in there and gives you a false tongue. You know how the demonic works? The demonic works with what we give them. If I've got unconfessed, unrepentant sin in my life, I've given the enemy a foothold. If I have unforgiveness in my heart, I've given the enemy a foothold. If I've dabbled in any of the occult or witchcraft, I've given the enemy a foothold. Not when I seek my Father for one of his gifts. Jesus said, if you go to your Father and ask him for bread, will he give you a stone? If you go to your Father and ask him for a fish, will he give you a snake? It doesn't work like that. We seek the Father for one of his good gifts. So let me just close just with some of how we apply this. And this probably looks a little different in every congregation. But while we worship, you may hear somebody around you speaking, singing in tongues. And it's okay. Like I said, they're not talking to you. They're uttering mysteries to God. They're singing in the Spirit. They're praying in the Spirit. They're giving thanks in the Spirit. We're not going to shut that down. The only thing we ask is that you be considerate and be aware. When the music raises its volume, lift your voice in a tongue. And when there's songs that are more subdued and quiet, whisper in a tongue. It's okay. We're not quenching anything. Sometimes some of you may ask, well, what if somebody got up and gave a tongue on the microphone? What would you do? We would wait. We would wait for the interpretation. We'd say, body, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us an interpretation for what was just shared. Because see, here's the genius part of the gifts is that God didn't give all the gifts to any one person. He gave it to the body. You know what's brilliant about that is nobody gets elevated. Like, we need each other. We need each other. We need each other in its gifts. I mean, you got gifts of pastoring, and you got gifts of evangelism. Pastors want to gather, evangelists want to go. Which is more important? They both are. We need them both. Teachers like to lay things out systematically. Prophets are more sort of like stream of consciousness, but they're a lot of fun. Anyway, you can right, we need both of them. We need both of them working together. And so if somebody gave a tongue, it's a body. Where's your faith? Where's your earnest desire of the gifts? Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Would you release a prophetic interpretation in Jesus' name? Well, what if nobody came forward? We'd move on. But we wouldn't crucify or persecute or stone the person who gave the tongue. They stepped out in faith. So we'd thank them for exercising their gift, and we would ask the Holy Spirit to grow our expectation, grow our faith. And sometimes when we gather in small groups at the end of a service to pray for one another, you may hear somebody praying over you in tongues. That's going to be good, because edified prayer is better than unedified prayer. Right? Like, and honestly, sometimes, you know, there's situations people come and say, would you pray for me over this? I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I have any faith for that, or I don't even know what to pray for that. So I begin to pray in the Spirit. Suddenly a verse will come to mind, a picture will come to mind. Right? This is just, it's We're uttering mysteries. We're building ourselves up. We're strengthening ourselves in the Spirit. Let's have the worship team come forward. And I'll just close with my own testimony regarding the gift of tongues. And it wasn't in a meeting. It wasn't some sort of emotional experience. Nobody was massaging my throat or calling me to repeat after them. In fact, if anybody does any of that nonsense here, let me know. I will speak to them. And I'm joking, but I'm not. I'm serious. Like, this is a good gift of the Holy Spirit, and I'm repulsed by anything that would try and make a mockery of it. But I, like I said, you know, we've said all through this, we welcome any questions that you have. It's because I had to wrestle through these things on my own as well. And so having come to a place where, like, all right, this is a good gift from the Holy Spirit, it's from the Father, from the Spirit, it's supposed to help me and build me up, I want this. And so I just began to ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me the gift of tongues? God, would you give me the gift of tongues? Father, would you give me the gift of tongues? And nothing happened. This is a process of months and even years. And there's an older gentleman who just spoke to me and said, Aaron, you got to receive it by faith, but then you got to start taking steps of faith. You got to open your mouth and you actually have to start speaking. It's like toddlers will start mimicking, you know, sounds back to their parents. Like, you have to actually open your mouth and begin to speak. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try that. So Father, fill me with your Spirit. I ask you for the gift of tongues. Here goes. Mek, lek, sek, chek, nek, pek. Oh, forget it. I'm like, this is stupid. And so I'd go along, and then all of a sudden, I'd become convicted again. Like, I really want this gift. Like, this is supposed to help me. Like this is supposed to build me up. This is a good gift from my Father. I want this. And so here goes. Mek, check, lek, sek. Ah, this is stupid. This is just stupid. I quit. Because I'm not doing anything. I'm just thinking of the next sound to make out of my head. And one day, I was on a car lot. I was backing a car into a parking space. I put my hand over the next seat, looked over my shoulder, and out flowed a tongue. Without any effort, without any thought, it just flowed out. I got out of the car. I'm like, that was weird. Tried it again. Tried it on the ride home. All of a sudden, this is just flowing out of me like nothing. And somebody say, well, how do you know it's for real? All I know is I don't have time for nonsense or foolishness. All I know is it's just been a wonderful gift to strengthen me, to edify me, to build me up. When I don't know what to pray, I pray in the Spirit. I give thanks in the Spirit. I give praise in the Spirit. I utter mysteries in the Spirit to build up my inner man. All I know is when I go to the Word of God, I pray in the Spirit because I don't want comprehension with my brain because my brain is too small for the mighty works of God. My brain is too small for His wonders. I want Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled understanding of the mysteries of God. And during worship, I sing in tongues. What better time to give thanks? What better time to pray? What better time to declare His wonders? When do you pray in tongues? Mostly when there's no words on the screen. What do? Sing in the Spirit. Sometimes I might not even like the song that we're singing. So you can sing in the Spirit. Keeps me from judging. Keeps me from having a bad attitude. Sometimes the Spirit of God just hit me with truth in the middle of worship. You know what? You guys just keep singing. God's doing something here. I'm going to sing in the Spirit. It's a wonderful gift. Yep, it's weird. God gave it to us to build us up so that we could strengthen ourselves. We could declare the wonders of God. We could give Him thanks. We could give Him praise. We could utter mysteries in the Spirit. That's what this whole thing's for. So we should ask Him for it. We should earnestly desire. Like He's willing to give us if we'll pursue it. Let's stand together. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your word that lights our path regarding, Lord, what we've made a mess of. But thank you for clarity on your word. Thank you for helping our understanding. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of tongues. Lord, we bless it. And Father, I just ask, Lord, where we've been resistant to it, Father, I ask that you would replace, Lord, that resistance with an earnest desire. Father, we do ask, even over this body, over this time, over this week, Lord, a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would give grace for these gifts to be released in our body in ways that we've never even seen before in Jesus' name. Lord, we do ask today that you would help our unbelief, and that you would help us to step out and walk in faith according to your presence, according to your word, to your leadership. Lord, give us a heart to serve our body. In Jesus' name.